This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Jen, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday here on the first Saturday in November. We've got a doubleheader of 3A playoff action today. Carthenville is at Mount Carmel, live at 145 on FM 106. North Mac will be at Vandalia, live at 145 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. That game will be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And yesterday we had a chance to catch up with Chad Easterday and Pat Bowman. We will bring both of those conversations to you here in just a moment on Sports Saturday. Also, we have a conversation with Staunton cross-country coach Steve Moore as the Bulldogs get set to run in the cross-country sectional at Effingham St. Anthony. And, of course, Lydia Roller will be leading Staunton into that sectional, one of the top runners in the entire state. So we will talk to Steve Moore about Lydia and the Staunton cross-country team a little bit later on in the hour here on Sports Saturday. We did have playoff football played last night as Nokomis was back into the postseason for the first time since 2014. They went up to 50 in Oakwood. Hung tough, just could not get anything going offensively as Oakwood won 20-0. The defense kept Nokomis right in the ball game. It was 14-0 at the half, and, you know, they forced some turnovers. They just could not move the ball, and you give credit to the Oakwood defense. They were very tough up front as they just did not allow Nokomis to get any running lanes opened up. Skins had spots where they would get a play, get a chunk of yards, but just could not sustain anything on the offensive side of the ball. So Nokomis comes up short last night. They lose 20-0 in the first round of the 2A playoffs. And for now, 50 in Oakwood now, they are into the second round, and they will get the winner of the Pena Redbud game. Oakwood will be on the road either way. But last year, Pena beat Oakwood in the first round of the playoffs by just a touchdown. So a potential rematch there. And it'd be very surprising if Pena did not beat Redbud today. So it looks like we're looking at a Pena-Oakwood rematch in the second round of the playoffs this year. But we've learned it over the years. You can't assume anything when it comes to high school athletics, certainly postseason play. We'll play the games. We'll see how it shakes out. It'll be a fun day of football across the state. But congratulations to Paul Watson and Nokomis on a very fine football season. Make the playoffs, comes to a close at 7-3 last night. Also a big day for soccer across the state. The 1A soccer state tournament will wrap up today, and the championship has Alton Marquette looking for their second title in the last 3 years. They will face Chicago University after Marquette stormed back and beat defending champion Quincy Notre Dame last night 3-2 on penalty kicks. So congratulations to former Carthenville coach Tim Gould as he will go for a state championship coming up today at the Eastside Center in East Peoria. They were down 2-0 late in the first half, got a goal with 1.8 seconds left in that first half, took the momentum into the second half, and came back and beat Quincy Notre Dame. So good luck to Alton Marquette today as they go for a state championship. Well, we mentioned we will have two playoff games today, and both on the road. For North Mac, a short trip to Vandalia, another one of those Sangamo South Central battles that we've become so accustomed to over the years. Carthenville has a bit of a longer trek. You can't go much further east in the state than Mount Carmel. But when the Cavvies arrive, it will be a matchup of two of the best programs in the entire state. Carthenville has won 642 games. Mount Carmel has won 634. It should be a heck of a ball game today. We'll have it live at 145 on FM 106. And yesterday, we had a chance to catch up with Carthenville head coach Chad Easterday. Game day as this interview airs, and boy, is it going to be fun.
Yeah, you know, it's been a little bit since we've been on the road week one, so you know, it's been a little different week and a little bit, you know, different there. But obviously, coaching staff-wise, player-wise, well, you know, we're well-versed in how to travel and those types of things. So I hear it's a really cool environment down there, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes and get it going.
Chad, you guys always embrace the opportunity, and you guys have a nice opportunity here. Like you said, you're in a position you haven't been for a while, underdog.
Yeah, I guess on paper or record-wise, you know, that's always how it goes. And, you know, as we've talked over the years, I think a lot of teams circle Carthenville in our conference because, you know, we've proven that we've kind of been up there with the run. We circle Greenville, we circle Painter, those types of things. So, you know, being an underdog and having your name circled on someone's calendar, I think, is added motivation and those types of things. So, you know, our kids are used to that in the stressful environment. So hopefully we can prove that.
This is two perennial power type of programs squaring off, you and Mount Carmel, both over 600 program wins. And I know you don't get caught up and that type of stuff. But from the outside, this is what the playoffs is about.
Well, that's what you said perfectly. You said it perfectly. Excuse me. I mean, you know, when you get a chance to play those types of schools, and I know I know about their history there, but obviously we don't know them very well. And, you know, when you play the Williamsvilles and the Newtons and those types, you know, the environment's going to be good. They got a great following and a great atmosphere. So, you know, that excites the fans, and that's what the playoffs are about.
As you look at Mount Carmel on film, what do you see?
You know, they're big. They're big. They're physical. All the things that we try to pride ourselves on. So, you know, I think the key to the game is going to be us getting them on the ground. So, you know, if we can get them tackled early on and withstand that initial surge. So whenever you go on the road and you're playing somebody like that, you know, you got to survive the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been talking to the kids about all week is, you know, we got to have our best foot forward out of the gate. We cannot stand to have a touchdown lead or play field position, those types of things. We need to win those battles early.
And the ability to start fast on the road, as you mentioned, so critical anytime, but especially when you're getting that far away from home in an environment that's going to be rocking, you got to start fast.
Yeah, that's the key. I think, to be honest with you, even if we give up a score early, the field position is for us. The last 5 weeks has proven to us that, you know, we have to own the time of possession. We have to own the field position, play smart football, great special teams. That type of environment will help put us in the best chance to win.
Do they style-wise match up with any team you guys have played?
You know, they remind me of North Mac a couple years ago when we went to the state. You know, they're a gun team, but they're a gun-run team. So, you know, they're going to try to power football off tackle to you, take their shots down the field, vertically down the field once or twice a possession. So, you know, that's we've seen that style of offense before, very similar to Vandalia-type atmosphere. So, you know, we're going to have to crowd the box. We're going to have to play some man coverage and gamble at times and play that chess match.
How tricky is it to play the run out of shotgun?
I think it depends on who you want to ask and all that. I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. People have asked why we went back under center. Well, because it fits our personnel. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they have a running quarterback, and obviously when you have a dual threat guy and you get him off the ball, that makes defensive have to defend two people. So, you know, that atmosphere-wise, we're used to that. We've played those types of teams. But they do cause a lot of conflict. Yep, you've got to play smart football. It's like defending the triple option. You've got to play responsibility football.
And you mentioned they like to take shots down the field. And you guys have been susceptible to the big play at times this year. Is that something that concerns you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've played 9 weeks, and there's no secrets there. If we have a weakness, we have – blown a few coverages. We have gotten beat deep. You know, those are things that we've improved on in the past 5 to 6 weeks. So hopefully we can take another step in the positive direction there and, hopefully get a win, you know. So then we'll be back at home and we'll be back in our element, so to speak.
What's been the mood around the team and what type of practice have you had this week?
We've had a really good week of practice. I think you said it best. I think our kids have been around the program enough to know that never too high, never too low, load the bus, win the game, get back on the bus. That's kind of been our philosophy, you know, for the past 10, 15 years. Andy Houston had that philosophy. So, you know, I don't think our kids – I don't want to use the term scared, but they don't get intimidated much by a three-hour bus ride. So I don't think that's a concern for us. I think the more concern is making sure that we withstand that first quarter.
And when you're on a bus – for that long, the anticipation just kind of builds, and sometimes you can get in your own head, but it doesn't sound like you're worried about that from your kids. They're going to be laser focused. This is a business trip.
Yeah, this is a business trip for us. So we'll do our normal routine. We'll do McDonald's. We'll load the bus. We'll be there before the custodial crew gets there because that's what Coach Easter likes. It'll be a home game for us before it's said and done. So subway off the bus and that type of thing. So, you know, that's kind of been our MO, I'd say, the last couple of years.
Hey, it's worked for you. No reason to change it if it's not broke.
The only people who don't like it is my coaching staff. They just they give me so much static because I don't ever want to be late. I mean, Dan Easterday would shoot me if I'm late to anything. So, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago we went to Casey, and we literally, the gate was locked when the charter bus showed up. And, I mean, Coach Steiner and those guys did harass the crap out of me. And it's just what I like. I don't want any surprises. Well, I'll walk up and down these steps 50 times before the game starts, and that'll be just fine by me.
Hey, I'm the same way, Chad. My broadcast partner, Carl, always gets on me, why are we getting here so early? Because something could happen.
That's exactly. I mean, you just don't want to. I don't want to. I mean, I consider ourselves good under pressure, but if you can avoid that situation, yeah, let's avoid it at all costs. So,
Chad Easterday, we always appreciate your time, sir. Best of luck today.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
That was Carlton Villa head coach Chad Easterday as his Cavaliers will travel to Mount Carmel today. Live coverage at 1:45 this afternoon on FM 106. And for the Cavaliers, they are trying to win a playoff game for the eighth straight year. You know, we think a lot about the last 3 years where Carmelville went to the state final, went to the state quarterfinal, to the state semifinal. But the 4 years prior to that run, they were still winning postseason games. So this is a team, you know, different players than they've had in the past, but they know about the tradition. They know what to expect. They grew up with wanting to play in these types of games. So now Colton DeLong and crew will get their opportunity this afternoon at Mount Carmel, one of the neatest places to play in the entire state. It'll be the third meeting all time between these two teams. They met back in 1986. That game was in Mount Carmel, won by the Golden Aces. Quinn Steiner was actually on that team for Carletonville, and then back in 1994, the famed Mud Bowl in Carletonville won by the Cavs. So I guess if you want to call it the rubber match, I guess you can, but we're going back to 1986 to get this series started. For the North Mac Panthers, of course, they made the postseason out of the Sangamo Conference at 5-4. And when you go 5-4, you're pretty much guaranteed to get a 9-0 team, and that's exactly what the Panthers have in front of them today. They will get the Vandalia Vandals, who they've been so impressive this year, kind of just rolled right through the South Central Conference. They got tested by Roxana early. That was maybe a bit of a surprise in terms of the closeness of that game at Vandalia, but then you see how the Shells finish winning their last four games to get into the postseason and how things could have been different if Roxana could have held on there. But give the Vandals credit for finding a way to win that game. And a lot of times when you have the type of year Vandalia had, you have to have a game like that, and we'll see if maybe they can lean on that as they get set for postseason play today. Remember, Vandalia lost in the first round last year, so they've got some amends to make in their minds as they want to make a deep postseason run this year. North Mac has other plans, and we were able to catch up with Panther head coach Pat Bowman yesterday, and we bring that to you now on Sports Saturday.
It's going to be a fun day. Our goal is to get to playoffs, and we made it. So we get a Saturday afternoon game, which we haven't had yet this year, so we're pretty excited.
As you've looked at Vandalia on film, what have you seen?
They're a solid football team, and you can see why they're 9-0. They've got tons of athletes, a lot of seniors out there on the field, and they're going to be some competition for us, definitely.
As we talked last week on the road to DeKalb after the matchup came out, we talked about how they've got the ability to run and throw, and as you've looked at them on film, is one more dangerous than the other?
They can do either one, and they do both well. So we do have our hands full, and like I say, they're 9-0 for a reason. That's not an easy task any conference you're in, so we know we're going to have to play our best game, but hopefully we'll be ready for them.
Of course, you guys play a rugged schedule in the Sangamo Conference. Are they similar to anybody you face this year, or are they kind of their own animal?
They're similar. They run similar type of offense that a lot of our teams in our conference run. They do some similar things that we even do. So that's not always a bad thing when you can see some familiar offensive sets, defensive alignments, things like that. But they match up well with the teams we've played.
Coach, it's always a balance, isn't it, to you game plan for a team, but when you get into a postseason game like this, you have to do what you do.
We do. We have to remember that we have our team to take care of, and you've got to do things the right way, especially when you get to playoffs. So we've got to play our game and not worry about what other people are doing and see what happens.
The old adage is just treat it like any other game. And you do to a point, but it's not any other game. You win or you go home.
Exactly. And the big thing we've been telling the kids every week is to have fun. Well, this one here, they really need to have fun. This is an experience not everybody gets to have in their football career, and they've earned it. So we're just going to enjoy the trip and see what happens.
You're the quote-unquote underdog. I've seen some pronostications. I haven't seen a lot of people picking North Mac. So your guys are going to use that, I would imagine, to your advantage.
Definitely. And they wouldn't pick us if it's a 5-4 playing a 9-0 just by looking at record. Obviously, they would pick a 9-0. So we'll use that, and we don't mind being the underdog at all.
And when you go on the road, sometimes that's – I mean, everybody likes to play at home. But when you're on the road, you rally around each other, and there's nothing better than making sure that that's going to be a quiet atmosphere on Saturday.
Exactly. When you go into someone else's home turf, there's always that home field advantage you hopefully you can take away early in a game, and you never know. But our kids have pretty much been playing on the road all year since we've just now opened our home field last week, so we're used to it.
And that is an advantage for you guys. Like, you were, you know, technically at home, but you weren't on your home field for this year, so they've been dealing with kind of being unsettled in terms of where they're going to play each week.
Exactly. And they've carried their equipment back home with them, back to school every single day. And now that we have a locker room, it's been kind of nice these last 2 weeks. But we'll just pack up the equipment Saturday, and it'll be just like another week.
I know Aaron Duff told me earlier that you were talking about road games. Like, some people don't realize how much stuff you have to pack up to play a road game.
Exactly, and it is a lot. We've got we have two buses and another vehicle for just equipment. So there is a lot of stuff, and just one player carries a lot of stuff.
Have you liked your week of practice?
We have. Yep, it's been fun. It's been a little chilly, but it's well worth it when you're in the playoffs.
And anytime you're playing football in November, it's been a good year. But for North Mac to come out victorious against Vandalia, a couple of keys.
The big thing is we've got to play our game. We're going to have to be able to establish an offensive ground game and be able to pass when we need to. So and to stop them, they've got weapons all over the field. So it always comes down, I always say, to blocking and tackling, and we're going to have to be at our best.
Pat, you've been around this game your whole life, and when you're on the road in a playoff, man, if you guys can start fast, the pressure goes squarely onto the shoulders of the 9-0 team.
It does, and we have the ability to do that. We just got to, like you said, come out and play our game, start fast, don't let any big plays happen, and then you never know what's going to happen.
Pat Bowman, thanks for a few minutes of your time, sir, and good luck against Vandalia.
Hey, thanks so much.
Pat Bowman, the head coach of North Mac, and we will have a doubleheader of 3A football action for you right here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. North Mac will be at Vandalia. That game kicks at 2. Live coverage at 1:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Also streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And we will have Carthenville at Mount Carmel. Also a 2 o'clock kick. Live coverage at 1:45 on FM 106. We've also got Fighting Illini football today hosting Rutgers, looking for their first 3-game win streak in the Big Ten. Talk about single season here since 2007. So Illinois could get back to 500 in Big Ten play and get over 500 for the year with the win today against Rutgers. That'll be live for you at 1:30 on 105.3 The Ox. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more following these messages on WSMI. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday, along with David Jenkins. Tim Mize here on WSMI FM 106. Big day for football across the state. And David, the big news over the last 24 to 48 hours has been the Chicago Public Schools strike getting resolved. So as a result, all of those Chicago schools will get to play in the playoffs today. They actually allowed them to practice while the strike was still ongoing, so they could have their required 3 practices in And I've been on record that this is the common sense thing to do. It should have happened weeks ago, because as it is, this is great for the football kids, but the volleyball kids, the golf kids, the tennis kids, the cross-country kids, they got the short end.
Well, from what I understand, the teams that practiced on Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday was when the strike was still going, but they practiced, was they were allowed to practice with the coaches who were not teachers.
Yeah, non-union coaches.
Right, and that was kind of the difference. I don't know that there are a lot of those in the other sports. Because there are more coaches in football, in one football coaching staff, than there are in other sports coaching staffs.
That's a fair point. But as it works out, I just kind of always felt that it's going to get resolved, because they're not going to, they got enough ache on their face as it is. They're not going to then have the story be, well, because they couldn't come together, the football teams had to forfeit.
You are correct. I believe that is the decision of the unions and the teachers, though, because you don't want to get into the situation of crossing a picket line, which is what you would be doing.
You do not. But the power of football is real.
Right.
Like, you get into these, this isn't so much a small school mm-hmm. thing, but you get into these bigger programs in the cities, it's kind of like college.
Yeah.
The football coach wields a lot of power and can persuade a lot of people.
It can, absolutely. And I think we might still see a strike going on if it was a smaller area, a smaller school. Now, depending on the pride of the football program, maybe not, but it's certainly possible that the Chicago Public League, having a lot to do with this, really made a difference.
There's no doubt about it. And I'm glad they get to play. I'm for kids getting to play, no matter the circumstances, when it's stuff out of their control. I just feel bad for the athletes and the other sports that they didn't get to play. And then the IHSA, you know, they kind of opened up a can here. They better approach strikes in other districts the same way. Because, I mean, they've been over backwards in a lot of different instances to make sure this happened. You know, they had a couple different waivers they put in place to try to make sure this happened, which is great. But if there's a strike in the southern part of the state at a small district, you better bend over the same amount.
No, you're absolutely right. I guess we'll see. Unfortunately, it seems strikes are, I guess, routine as they can be. They happen. So we'll just find out what district it comes from, what size of district it is, and what the IHSA is willing to do, especially what sport, if it's going to be. Maybe, I don't know when certain contracts run out, some different points of the year than others. Maybe it's basketball season, maybe it's baseball season. And if it's, we'll see just when it's going to take effect and, yeah, what the IHSA is willing to do.
So there will be a number of Chicago teams this year in the playoffs, having only played 8 games. That leads us in to this, as the new batch of proposals was released this week by the IHSA, and there's several of them here. We're going to get into them, but we're going to start with the one that gets most people's attention, and it's proposals 15 and 16, two separate proposals, but they kind of piggyback off of each other and looking to accomplish the same thing. If you remember last year, a proposal was put forth for football districts. It passed by a narrow margin, but as soon as it passed, those opposed to it, they were out in full force talking about how terrible it was. It's like the worst thing you could possibly do to high school football was implement these districts. So a new proposal has been put forth.
Another new proposal.
New proposal number two. And what I liked about the district proposal was, and there's good debates to be had on both sides of it. The thing I liked about the districts was it didn't change the playoff system. Mm-hmm. The high school playoff system in Illinois is fantastic. It does not need to be tinkered with or messed with. 256 teams, 32 teams, each class, winning record, you're in. Winning record, you might not be in a 5-4, but if you're below 500, unless you win a conference, you're not getting in to the postseason. This new system would expand the football playoffs to 384 teams. So you're talking about 48 teams a class opposed to 32. 3-win teams under this proposal would make the postseason. You're talking about an 8-week regular season now, and then week 9 would be those playoff qualifying teams playing their opening round game. The top 16 seeds would get a bye in every class until week 10. And then for the non-qualifying playoff teams, they would play week 9, but that game would be scheduled by the IHSA based on season record and geography. It would have nothing to do with class size. And then those non-qualifying teams could elect not to play in week 9. So you could have a situation where some schools might only play 8 games in the year because they choose not to play in week 9. I'm not a fan of this.
I know you're going to get to it, but I got a problem with this proposal, like I had a problem with the last proposal. I don't even remember what the last proposal was. But it seems like the people who are coming up with these proposals are not listening to the reason the district proposal was brought forth. Because to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems like the district proposal was brought forth to quell conference realignment, constant conference realignment, so many schools jumping conferences, which was affecting every sport. It was affecting the entire athletic season, not just football. It was being done for football, but it was affecting every conference for every sport and making it much more difficult for the other sports. Every proposal we've had since then, which is the district's pass, but the counter proposals, as it were, have not been addressing that. They've been so set on, as it says, continuing to keep the conferences and rivalries in place. But that's I don't want to say the conferences and rivalries are a problem, but that's not addressing the conference realignment issue.
Those who are in favor of this current proposal would say that eliminating the drive for 5 will quell the conference jumping because you won't have teams moving conferences thinking, okay, I got to get 5 wins. Is this conference better suited for me to get 5 wins? So I think they would say that aspect of it should take care of it. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But now, who's to say you're not going to have teams, where can I get my 3 wins?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
you're going to have lesser schools doing it. To say, and I apologize, I won't name them specifically, but I apologize to the lesser schools out there. But there are lesser schools out there who struggle to get 3 wins every year. Maybe they'll be jumping conferences.
And locally, we talk about the South Central Conference and the Sangamo Conference. Those are the two leagues that we deal with primarily in football here at WSMI. They're 10-team leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it's set up now, it's perfect. You play everybody in the conference once. It's cut and dry. If there's only an 8-week year, you're not going to play everybody.
Right.
And then you could theoretically have 2 undefeated teams that didn't play each other. How do you solve that? So there's different problems that arise if that becomes the new way that things get done.
Well, I don't know if they anticipate doing this, but if they've thought this far ahead, I would assume, I could be way wrong, this is just speculation, but I would wonder if they'd go back to divisions, if you'd see the South, Central, East, and West again. Because you only had, at the time, I think it was a 12-team conference overall, if you combined them, and it was 6 in each league. I wonder if they would go back to that for this.
Possible. So as we look at this proposal here, success points now instead of playoff points. It's been 6 in one hand, half dozen in the other. So conference champs would automatically be in. That doesn't change. Teams with 6-plus wins automatically in. That doesn't change. This is where the difference comes in. Teams with 5 wins, 4 wins, and 3 wins qualify as ranked by success points. So in theory, a 3-win team could get left out like the 5-4 teams do now with the points. But there's a potential that teams with 2 wins could get in based on success points. Now, I've said before, the beauty of the football playoffs is you have to earn your way in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to earn your way. It's part of what makes the playoffs so great. And I've seen some people say that this proposal would basically give you closer games in the first round, eliminate some of the blowouts, because you'd have a 5-3 team playing a 4-4 team, or a 4-4 team playing a 3-5. That was part of their rationale for saying the games would be closer in the first round.
No.
Who cares? So
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, it might be true because you have teams with closer records playing in the first round. But so what? That team wins, and then they go play a team that had a bye, and they get crushed.
At the same time, not every 5-4 team is created equal.
There's no question about that.
You see a lot of 5-4 teams that are light years better than 9-0 teams out there.
No, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And now you're talking about 16 teams in each class having a bye.
Yeah.
So now, because there's a certain level playing field. Everybody, there are no bye weeks in high school football. Mm-hmm. They're all on the same level. So now you're going to have a high school team coming off just playing a game, taking on a high-power team coming off of a bye week who's well-rested. That, if you're worried about safety and competitive balance, that's not good.
Well, and this is adding a lot of playoff teams. We're in an era where eight-man football is catching on. There probably will be, as the years progress, there probably will be more and more eight-man football teams, which will shrink the number of 11-man football teams. This system could be obsolete here in 5 or 6 years.
My concern about the expanded playoffs is I don't want it to become like what the NCAA tournament has become when they expanded. The bracket of 64 is great. If you remember, when they expanded to 68, they were calling it the first round.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it wasn't the first round. Nobody was buying that. They've now moved away from that, and they, the first four.
Yeah.
But those games are not viewed the same way. Like, yeah, if you win that game, you technically win a tournament game. But everybody knows you've won a play-in game. And so you've essentially taken week 9 of the high school football season and made it a play-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the need to upset the apple cart, so to speak, with the playoffs. Like, the district thing.
That's why I say I feel like a lot of these people making these proposals aren't listening. Because I feel like even though you did counter my argument with the quelling of the conference realignment, I feel like a lot of people making these proposals still think what the people with the district proposals believed was that the playoff system was the problem. And that's not true. The playoffs, they weren't trying to change the playoff system. They were trying to stop the conference jumping.
Right.
Let's not
districts, it's not like it'd be the only state in the country that is doing this. It happens in other states, and they seem to work just fine. So a couple of the points to me are things that would just work themselves out over time. The point was made about the conferences having rules and protocols and game management in place along with postseason awards, all conference MVP honors. That's all true. Are you telling me that there wouldn't be an all-district MVP, that there wouldn't be an all-district team? Of course there would.
Oh, yeah.
Of course there would be. So that, to me, argument, toss that out. That has nothing to do with anything. The other thing I saw was about the scheduling of officials, about how, because the districts theoretically would come up every 2 years, how are the ADs possibly going to schedule officials? I don't know. They seem to figure it out in every other sport. Our athletic directors are very smart, competent people. They're good at their jobs. They know what they're doing. And, David, I've seen this year, there was 1 week, Louis Lane got called by 3 different schools because their officials weren't showing up because the officials were double booked.
Mm.
And in these instances, the ADs had done their due diligence. They book 5-10 years out sometimes, which, fine. That's great because, they can do it. But if the officials weren't booked 10 years out, maybe they wouldn't double book themselves.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Does a conference championship matter in any other sport in terms of postseason seeding?
No.
Other than football.
No.
Obviously it matters in football. So is it really that big a deal? Again, I'm stuck on this keeping the conferences and rivalries talking point, but does it really matter?
No.
Over the districts?
No.
Does it matter that much to where the districts are such a bad idea?
No, because here's my issue. Talk about got to keep the long-time rivals. I understand that. There are certain rivalries that are long-standing and absolutely do matter to the communities.
Right.
And I've heard the argument put forth, well, with the districts, you got these two non-district games that don't mean anything. Okay. They don't mean anything from a playoff positioning standpoint. Fair enough. That is true. You could lose the non-district games and it wouldn't matter. But that's where you can schedule anybody you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can schedule your rival.
Right.
In your non-district game. And when we do rivalry games, we often say, you know, just kind of tongue-in-cheek, toss the records out. They don't matter. When Hillsborough and Litchfield plays, it doesn't matter what the record is.
Right.
So if it's a true rivalry game, then the fact that it's a non-district game and quote-unquote doesn't mean anything doesn't matter. Because if it's a true rivalry game, it matters. No matter what the record is, no matter what's on the line. Because what's on the line is bragging rights.
You mean like the Illinois-Ohio State rivalry with the Illibuck Trophy?
Oh, my gosh. Of course, the key to the rivalry is one of the schools has to beat the other school more than once every 15 years.
Does it, though?
It does.
A wooden turtle is at stake here.
I forgot about the wooden turtle.
Yes, because the first live turtle died.
And with the districts, new rivals would be formed.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, change isn't always bad, and it's not always good. But in this case, we've got people making proposals without anything actually being implemented. Now, you said there was a bunch of schools, 21% more schools cast votes than have football teams, and it only passed by 17 votes. Okay, but to your point that you made earlier, and it's exactly right, these schools that don't have football have a right to vote on this because their conferences and every other sport were being affected
mm-hmm.
by the conference jumping solely on the basis of football.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's for people who didn't like that the non-football schools had a vote or were represented, that's an unfair thought because their sports, they're paying the price for this. Because, yeah, if you have to travel once a week for football, okay. But they're having to travel in the middle of the week in other sports to play a conference game.
I never buy the travel argument for football.
Right.
It's one game a week on a Friday or a Saturday.
There's no
school being affected. These poor kids that play basketball and baseball and softball, basketball more because it's a night sport.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
wintertime,
a long way, treacherous conditions potentially on the roadways, to go play a game hours away, get back real late, then have to get up and go to school the next day.
Yeah.
That's affecting their sport and affecting their learning.
Yeah. It seems like with a lot of these proposals, the only things that are being thought about are football, and these are affecting every other sport as well.
And that's how we got into this current situation with the conference jumping. It was only for football and the drive for five, which that is a real thing. But this, to me, it waters down the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I love high school football. I do. But I don't want to go watch a 3-6 team play a 4-4 team and call it a playoff game. I just don't.
You really might as well just let everybody in.
Just let them all in.
You're pretty much doing that now. I don't know how many IHSA member schools have football now, but it seems like you're pretty much letting everyone in with this proposal anyway.
To move away a little bit, it's interesting. Another one of the proposals, Proposal 5, aims to restrict changes to or the elimination of approved amendment proposals until the amendment proposal has been in place for a minimum of 3 years. So this right here goes to the heart of what we were just talking about. If the Proposal 5 was in effect now, this new football proposal would have to wait 3 years. Let the districts play out. Maybe they're no good because it says allows for quantitative and qualitative data to be collected. So, wait for it, informed decisions can be made.
Right.
Informed decisions can be made. We want smart decisions. We don't want knee-jerk reaction
right.
decisions. And, you know, people have valid reasons for not liking the districts. That's fine. It hasn't happened yet. A lot of times when something new comes along, oh, that is terrible. That is awful. I'm not interested in that. And then you see it in effect, or you use the products like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
This was a pretty good deal.
Worked out pretty good. So it's interesting that proposal is proposed at the same time as they're trying to replace the districts before they ever actually get started.
I mean, it makes me wonder if it if this proposal, Proposal 5, were to pass first, does that void any other proposal?
I don't know how they work the structure, but I would say not. I would say that since that proposal was proposed at the same time, that it would go into effect after this batch of proposals. So that's the situation on the football districts or the non-districts, as it were. We'll obviously have more on this.
I wonder if there's nefarious intent behind that then. Like if they were to propose or approve Proposal 5, then come back and this gets approved, the people who liked the district couldn't go back and try to re-get the district proposal approved until like 3 or 4 years.
That's with 3 years.
Yeah.
Right. There'll be statewide town hall meetings on all of these proposals November 7th through the 20th, and then the all-school vote will take place from December 2nd through the 16th. So that was the big one. That, you know, that's what gets everybody's attention. There were some other proposals, though, that were very interesting. One of them, actually two of them, I absolutely love. The proposal, which is number 14, to move the start and then potentially, not potentially, it would be, move the start and the end of the spring baseball and softball season back 1 week. This is a good idea. You know, because you thought, well, you can practice inside. Well, not everybody can practice inside. Some schools have much better facilities to practice inside, and you can only do so much inside. I mean, you talk to anybody who's been around baseball or softball the whole time. Yeah, you can get work done in the gym. You can. But it's not the same as being on a diamond. And if you remember this past year, there were a lot of teams that played a game without having an outdoor practice.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like moving the season back. I'm okay with moving the start of the season back, but the end of the season back, I would almost rather just shorten the number of games. And I know that's hard because sometimes teams are playing only a handful of games anyway because of the weather. But, I mean, you're getting into the situation where players are playing after school is out. They really lose. I mean, it's a fact. The kids lose interest. Once the school is out, they're not as interested as they were.
But that happens now, though. If you advance far enough in the playoffs, school is out. And I don't think kids are losing interest when they're playing in a deep postseason game. I think the interest is still there. But early March is no good.
Yeah.
For baseball.
Yeah,
I
agree
with
that.
It's just no good. And unless they want to shorten the season, which I don't think they do, it's just naturally going to end a week later if you start it a week later. So that's interesting. I think that will pass.
Yeah.
I think that one will pass. Proposal 12 was put forth by Carlinville principal Pat Drew. And this is something that has been talked about for a long, long time. The proposal is to separate the state tournaments for non-boundaried and boundaried schools in multiple class sports and activities. This is common sense. It will not happen.
No. Yeah, well, I don't know how many, I don't know how many non-public schools there are as part of the IHSA, but they have enough of a representation. I would imagine they would stop this from getting passed immediately.
And let's not conflate private school education with private school athletics.
Right.
If you want to send your kid to a private school for a better education, salute.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Get your kid the best education possible. And if you feel that's at a private institution, wonderful. That's separate.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is when these non-boundary schools can handpick their athletes, it's not a level playing field when they're competing against public schools.
Right.
It's just not. Like, it's not an anti-private school conversation. That's not it at all. I don't know anybody who's really against private schools for education.
Yeah.
You know, the issue becomes when you've got these schools competing against public schools. We just saw
it's in the state tournament. I'm okay with them competing in a regular season.
Absolutely.
Because that strengthens your program and strengthens your season, because you play the better competition, you're more prepared for the postseason. But when it gets to the postseason, that's when it really becomes an unfair advantage.
Exactly right. And we just saw it in the volleyball regional championships the other night. Carlinville, great program, great team, played Quincy Notre Dame and got rolled.
You see it really evident in boys and girls soccer in this area, where we can't get a public school locally out of out of the sectional because there are so many private schools into one sectional that they're dominating every year. I mean, unless you're a bigger, I'm speaking more so to the 1A since soccer is only three classes, but to the 1As, unless you're Rochester, a bigger 1A school, which I believe they're 1A. Are they 2A? Okay. Well, then I should just stop arguing with that. But, it seems like we can't get any of our local schools publicly. They'll win a regional, but then that's as far as they'll go.
Exactly right. And people associated with the private schools, they get very touchy when this type of thing gets brought up. But it's just, you see it in football all the time. Mm-hmm. These private schools that play 5A, 6A schedule, all of a sudden they're in the 3A playoffs.
Yeah.
And my thought has been, and this is just my opinion, if you're a powerhouse private school, do you really get maximum satisfaction and gratification for beating a small public school in the playoffs? I mean, you won, no doubt. But can you really feel like we beat the best possible team? Whereas if you had a private school class, you would get, because there's great public school programs, you would get great public school finals and you would get great private school finals.
I would even split, I don't know what the proposal says, but I would even split it into two private school. You could almost have a five-class system where you had three public, two private, or you could have two public, two private, big school public, small school public. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Too much sense, David.
Yes. You're splitting both public and private schools into two classes, big and small schools, and not watering down the postseason.
Right.
All competitive. Because from an enrollment standpoint, it's a level playing field.
I agree.
Yeah.
So those are some of the proposals that we found interesting with this latest batch of announcements from the IHSA. Again, the voting will take place December 2nd through the 16th, and it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll look at the crop of games for today in the high school football playoffs when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Joining us on Sports Saturday now is Staunton Cross Country Coach Steve Moore. And Steve, thanks for a few minutes of your time today, and I know, you know, you've always said cross country is the best kept secret in high school sports, and that might be true, but Lydia Roller is no longer a secret.
No, she's sure not. She's known statewide and starting to attract some college attention as well. Now that it's her junior year, and it's real exciting for her and her family and for the school and the community as a whole.
And Steve, no matter the sport, when a high school athlete has these types of expectations put on them, it's tough to live up to them, but it seems that she continues to do just that.
Yeah, and, you know, at times I got to make sure I don't take it for granted as well. As we talk about point breakdowns, like when we were going into conference or in the regional, and like, here's kind of what needs to happen, and you don't want to assume she's going to put a one on the board, but she's done it time and time again. And so I have to at times talk to her and just say, you know, I'm very impressed with what you're doing and certainly not assuming you're going to do this, but she has been kind of like a machine. I mean, she just goes out and gets it done, and it's been very impressive, to say the least.
You know, I've read some quotes from other runners around the area talking about certain meets. Okay, what did Lydia run last year? That's my target time for this year. And when you have other runners taking that type of notice, that maybe is the greatest compliment she can get.
Yeah, for sure, and it's kind of neat how they, the camaraderie and how they look up to her and they ask her for tips, and it's just been kind of a neat atmosphere, and cross country is like that in general. And so what's impressive is sometimes girls don't always get faster. You know, sometimes their freshman and sophomore years are their fastest, and she's been able to buck that trend for sure, and her times, although very impressive last year, she's been able to beat those pretty consistently.
And I remember we talked at the very start of the year, and you had said she had some pretty, I guess, lofty goals for the amount of time she wanted to shave off, and it seems that she's actually been able to accomplish that.
Yeah, and what's neat about it, too, is she's got more, she's taken on more mileage, more weekly mileage this year. And so we've kind of like trained through the meets, if you will. And so she hasn't necessarily gone into any of those meets with what I'd say are fresh legs. So she's treated them almost like hard practices and been able to achieve quite a bit. So we're hoping here this week and then definitely in the next as we taper her down, her mileage, that hopefully she'll have an explosive run left in her, you know, at sectionals and then, you know, hopefully at state if we get that far.
Has Lydia had the mentality this year of state championship or bust?
No, I don't think so. Well, one thing that happened is a girl from a 2A who I think ran about 45 seconds faster than her last year, they got bumped down from Aurora Rosary, I believe the name of the school is. And so right away, she actually is no longer the state favorite, even though she was the returner from last year's state meet. And so I think that she likes those challenges. I mean, it's, for most kids, it's got to be discouraging, you know, like a chance at a state trophy and then some sort of, like, success factor gets factored in. But for her, I think she sees it as a challenge of, like, iron sharpens iron or whatever the saying is, that she's going to get better because she's facing tougher competition. And so that's that mature demeanor that I've been very impressed with in her.
So you talk a little bit about the mental aspect to cross country. I mean, you know, it's distance running, so it's just you in the course. I mean, you're out there a long way from the start line. Talk about the mentality it takes to be able to push through and grind.
Yeah, it's one of those things that obviously there's a physical aspect to the training, and then there's your environmental things. Like we start off where, you know, it was like 105 heat index or whatever, and now we're talking about snow. And so you do have those mental challenges. In the sport, we call it callousing, like just getting your mind ready that things aren't going to go your way, whether it's the wind, the rain, maybe you're just not feeling well that way, and being able to overcome that. And we talk a lot about embracing being uncomfortable, because really, to go all out for 3 miles, you're not going to feel great right after a race, and then, you know, a few minutes subside, and you're feeling like, you know, I'm so proud of myself. But you have to almost, like, be able to embrace the hurt or the just that uncomfortable feeling that comes with going all out for 3 miles. And those who do it, they succeed in this sport.
Talking with Steve Moore, the cross-country coach at Staunton High School, and obviously we're talking a lot about Lydia Roller, one of the elite runners in the entire state. But, Steve, you got a whole team, and a lot of times when you have an elite runner like Lydia, some of the other kids maybe don't get some of the attention they deserve. But, hey, they're running the same race, putting in the same type of work. So talk about the other kids on your group and how special they've been for you.
Yeah, for sure. This group has been very successful, you know, from a school standpoint. We've got, in the last 3 years, this group of kids has a regional title, a conference title, and then we finished second at conference. And so, you know, one runner in cross country can't make a team. And so in addition to Lydia, we have Brooke Kinder, who's a sophomore, who's consistently ran second, both her freshman and sophomore year. One really nice surprise this year is Mackenzie Fisher, is a senior, who went from our eighth runner to our second or third. Her and Brooke have been very similar times. And that just came from putting in a lot of summer miles. And so, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes girls don't always get faster as they get older. And Mackenzie has been able to shave 3 to 4 minutes off her time this year from just last year. Bailey Scroggins has been up as our number four runner most of the year. She's had a nice three-year career so far, and she's a junior, along with Dana Jardin. Dana was all conference as a freshman and sophomore and has had some nice steady races for us this year. And then senior captain Sonali Jane is kind of just like the glue of the team. Kind of in basketball, we use that term a lot, but in cross country, similar. She just keeps everybody together. And then we also have only one freshman, Lexi Pfeiffer, who's really come on strong this year, especially here at the end. And then we have someone we borrow from the volleyball team, Hannah Dustman, who provides depth for us. Just a great kid. She's president of my Bulldog Business Club. She's just like, do anything to help the team succeed type person.
You guys are going to be running at St. Anthony coming up in the sectional, and you were saying this is not a course you're familiar with.
I'm not real familiar with it. The last time the sectional was there, we didn't have anybody qualify. I have been told that it's not a great course for setting personal records. It's pretty it's going to be pretty windy, and the conditions, the wet conditions, could could affect the course and how it is even set up, perhaps. So we'll see how it goes. You know, we're going in with getting fifth at the regional. Like, we're not projected to move on, but I think that sometimes, you know, running loose and not having a lot of pressure, they, maybe the girls could surprise someone. The problem is it's just a juggernaut of a sectional. I think six of the top 18 teams in the state are there, including three of the top five. And so with only five teams advancing, it's gonna take a really, really good effort on our part, you know, to make that return to state.
And with that powerhouse of a sectional, does Lydia basically just stack right at the top as usual?
She does. I want to say her time's like second in the state right now, but the number three runner will be there. And, yeah, she's projected, and, again, some of the pressure comes with that. She's projected to be at the lead of the pack, but she will be challenged Saturday. And, like I said, that could bode well for her, you know, going forward and kind of seeing where she stands on the statewide scene. The problem with cross country is you can't really compare times because the courses are so different, and even the weather can change, you know, depending on where you're at in the state. So we'll see where she stands Saturday, and I think she always looks forward to a challenge, and kids look forward to running someplace new, so they're excited about it.
Steve Moore, the Staunton cross country coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and good luck in the sectional.
All right, thanks a lot, Tim.
The girls will run beginning at 10 o'clock this morning. The boys will begin their run at 11 o'clock. Big day of playoff football for you on WUSMI AM and FM. Both games will kick at 2. Live pregame coverage for both at 1:45. Carthenville will be at Mount Carmel. That game will be on FM 106. North Mac will be at Vandalia. That ball game can be heard live on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And the North Mac Vandy game will stream online at WUSMIRadio.com. Elsewhere in 3A today, Greenville, they will be hosting Quincy Notre Dame. That'll be a 2 o'clock start as well for the Comets and QND. At 1 o'clock today, Williamsville will host St. Joe Ogden. In Class 4A at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Roxana at 5-4. They will be at number 2, Columbia. At 6 o'clock this evening, Taylorville at 5-4 will be at number 1, Chillicothe IVC. And Civic Memorial into the postseason at 7-2. They will host Murfreesboro at 4 o'clock this afternoon. In Class 5A, Rochester, the 2 seed, bumped up to 5A for the first time. They will host LaSalle, Peru. 2 o'clock kicks in 5A. SHG will be at Morris. And Highland, they will be at Cahokia. In 6A, East St. Louis, a top-ranked team there, they will be hosting Chicago Morgan Park. Also in 6A, Glenwood, they will host Danville. Springfield High will be at Lamont. The Glenwood game at 1, the Springfield High game at 5 o'clock this evening. Now get out and enjoy yourself some playoff football today in Class 2A. Pena, they will be hosting Redbud. That's a 2 o'clock kick. Maroon Forsyth will be hosting Cesar Verlier. That's a 1 o'clock kick. And at 1:30, Auburn will be on the road at Chester. In Class 1A, Greenfield Northwestern hosting Brown County. That's a 1 o'clock kick. Havana, they will be at number 1 Central A&M for a 1 o'clock start today. At 1:30, North Green is at Argenta Orienta. Then at 2 o'clock, Camp Point Central hosting Salt Fork, and Casey Westfield will be on the road at Athens. Should be a wonderful day of playoff football across the state. Again, Carthenville at Mount Carmel live at 1:45 on FM 106. North Mac at Vandalia live at 1:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And that game will be streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. That is going to wrap it up for this Sports Saturday on the first Saturday in November. Thanks to our area coaches for joining us this morning. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.